Okay. So Lord, I thank you again. Lord, I'm just so thrilled to be able to do this on Tuesdays and Thursdays. I wish we could do it every day. But Lord, I know that you've got your hand on this group, and I praise you for it, Lord. I thank you for the work you're doing in all of us, Lord, because you're bringing us into that realm of the bride. Hopefully, and everybody is doing everything that they know to do. And Lord, we just we speak it by faith that everybody's going to be in the bride that's on this outreach. And we praise you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, that everybody is anointed to do whatever it is that you have for them to do. Of course, I know that we're coming into that realm of where everybody's ministry is fixing to be ramped up exponentially. And I thank you for it, Lord. I know that you're doing that here locally. And if you're doing it here locally, you're doing it out there in the outreach too, Lord. And I praise you for it, Father. Lord, anoint us tonight to speak those words that you'd have us to speak, and everybody else too, Lord. And let your glory fall, Lord. We'd like to see revival right here. And Father, it'd be awesome just to start it right here and let it go throughout the world. And we thank you, Lord, for everything that you do tonight, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, all right. It's been a rainy day here, kind of a dreary day, but the sun came out occasionally this afternoon late. That was good. Anybody got any prayer requests we need to pray about?
I do, Michael.
Okay, Barbara.
Hi. Could you pray for Bruce and I?
Okay.
Well, he got some bad report last week. I think you probably know about it. Yeah. Anyways, they told him he has nasal cancer and a mass in his lymph nodes. I guess it spread to his lymph nodes. And he's going, you know, the way of the doctors and everything. And quite frankly, I'm not ready to deal with doctors and all that, but you know, I have to be there with him. So could you just pray for us and pray for Bruce? And
yeah, okay. Absolutely. Lord, we ask and we pray that you utilize this thing that's going on with Bruce to bring him closer to you, Father. We ask that in the name of Jesus, Father, that this thing that you're doing here with him, Lord, that's what you're doing, to draw him into you. Because when we get to the point where we ain't got nobody else but you, that's when we call out to you, Lord. A lot of times, rather than going to you first, we have to wait until things just get out of hand as far as the world goes, and then they'll crawl out to you. And sometimes, Lord, we know that that has to happen. I don't know if this has got to happen, but I do know that you're going to use it to bring Bruce into the kingdom in a mighty way, Lord. And I thank you for it, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that you're going to put Barbara at rest in this venture, we'll call it. Because, Lord, we just believe that when we pray, that our prayers are answered by you, Lord. We know that you're sovereign, that everything that happens to us is for a purpose. And that's to draw us closer to you, Father. And I thank you for it, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that you're going to put Barbara's heart at rest about this thing with Bruce, and not to get anxious about nothing, because she's running after you with all her heart. And as long as she's doing that, she don't have to worry about a thing. And I thank you for it, Lord. And I praise you for the work you're doing in Barbara and Bruce, Lord. And I believe, Lord, I believe that before this is all over, that we're going to have a mighty, mighty woman and man of God. And I thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. You believe that, Barbara?
I do. I believe that, I believe he's healed. But he wants to go the way of what they're telling him. Like, he has to go for the PET scan to see if there's any more cancer throughout his body. You know, they want to put him on radiation for his mass on his neck. They want to do all that stuff, and I want to just, you know, be at rest. I mean,
well, that's where he is right now.
Excuse me?
That's where he is right now. His faith is in the doctors. It's not in the Lord right now. And sometimes the Lord has to bring him to the point to where, and I'm not saying that's what's going to happen. I'm telling you, I've seen it in the past. When you go to the doctors, you know, they give you chemo, and what does that do,
Barbara? No, he's not doing chemo.
Oh, what is
radiation
it?
Separate.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's not doing. He said he won't do chemo.
Okay. Well, that's good.
Yeah, he's going for the radiation. He doesn't know anything yet. He's going May 1st is when his appointment is to find out everything. But they told him they wanted to operate on his nasal cavity. And then they want to do radiation because he has a mass on his lymph nodes where his neck is, you know, the lymph nodes there. He has a mass there that they want to do radiation on. But I feel bad, though. He's in a lot of pain. He's in pain every day. And I pray for him. And I'm always looking for that good report, and it's always a bad report. And so I guess I am struggling there. You know, I don't like to see him in pain.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's pray that.
Yeah.
Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you. That you do answer our prayers. In the name of Jesus right now, we command the pain to leave Bruce right now, in Jesus' name. Father, you said in your word that we have authority over all the power of the enemy. And Father, I ask and I pray that you place it into Bruce to understand that and to believe it and to trust you, Lord. Because ultimately, that's where it's got to come from. It's got to come from him. But we're just believing, Lord, that you're going to show him a lot of grace and a lot of mercy. And Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that do they have him on some kind of pain medication?
They did. Percocets is all, but they don't really work. He says they don't work.
Okay. All right. Well, Lord, you got better than Percocets. You got the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit. And Lord, we thank you that you're going to do a mighty work here in Bruce. Lord, I don't know how you're going to do it, but we just know you're going to do it. And we ask, Lord, that you do this work in him to heal him, whatever it takes to heal him, deliver him, and set him free, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And Father, from all infirmities that he's collected over these many years, and Lord, we thank you for it. We thank you, Lord, that Bruce is going to come into the kingdom in such a mighty way that it's just going to astound folks. And I thank you for it, Lord. We come against any spirit of rejection in the name of Jesus. Command it to go. Fear to go in the name of Jesus. We command cancer to go from his body in the name of Jesus. And we also command the fear of cancer to go from his body in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you for it. We thank you, Lord. And I praise you, Lord, for what you're doing in Bruce, in Jesus' name. Now, Lord, I don't know Bruce all that well, but I do know from over the years that he's struggled with trying to believe. And I ask, Lord, that you give him the gift of faith. And if you give him the gift of faith, he'll believe, Lord. And I thank you for it, in Jesus' name. You believe that, Barbara?
Yes, I do.
Okay. All right. Well, praise God. I'm believing for a miracle here.
Yes, amen. Thank you.
First and foremost, I believe that God's going to bring him into him in a mighty way to believe what the word says. I believe that.
Yeah, I see. I see. He wants to believe. He's trying. He does want to. He's in the word and maybe not enough to get him that faith, but I see he wants to.
Well, this may be an incentive.
Excuse me?
This might be an incentive, praise God.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we were even praying for him to quit smoking, too, because he still struggles with that.
Is he still smoking?
Yeah. He wants to quit. He struggles in that. I can't say anything because years ago, well, it's been about 9 years now, I used to smoke And it was hard at first until I really started putting the word seriously. You know, I told myself, I don't have to sin. I'm not bond. I just had to tell myself that and just quote the scriptures. And the Lord did deliver me.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. Well, thank you, Lord.
Yeah, thank you, Lord.
Amen. Well, okay. Well, we're looking for a miracle for you. In Jesus' name.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. All right. Anybody else? I did notice today, I glanced at the headlines, and it said that the FEC, which is the Federal Election Commission, had found out that there had been at least $84 million that had been misappropriated in the voter election in Hillary Clinton's campaign fund thing or other, you know. And looks like there's going to be some stink on that now. But you won't hear about it on CNN or ABC or NBC or CBS. You won't hear about it there. But anyways, $84 million that they know about. So, Lord, I just thank you for exposing all the swamp rats in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, that you're going to start putting them in jail. And, Lord, let it be. If it's your will that some of them get saved, Lord, I just believe, Lord, that this is going to be the catalyst that brings them to you, the ones that you have chosen. And I thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. All right. Anybody else got a prayer request, a praise report, or a testimony? Yeah, Chad, go ahead, brother.
Yes, sir. I don't think I've really heard much about this on this fellowship call. Charity and I got what was called a no cause eviction a year ago last month from our apartment complex. What that is they evict everybody from the apartment complex they're living in because they want to refurbish it and then come in and double the rent. And they did that all over Portland, the Portland, Oregon area. They, a large corporate outfit moved into the city and bought up properties around the city. And then everybody gets a notice. You know, we were, sensing something like that was coming, that the Lord was going to move us out and it wouldn't be, you know, conventional, whatever, you know, people might think of conventional as, like maybe we put in a notice and, you know, come in and inspect and we get our deposit back and we move out. We just had a sense it wasn't going to happen that way. So the Lord was good to prepare us, but a new corporate outfit bought the apartment complex we lived in. And then we received a 60-day notice to vacate, and it's called a no-cause eviction. So there's no reason on our part, you know, there was no fault on our part that it happened. They just said that they were going to, that we had 60 days to get out. And then if we wanted to stay there, Charity and I each had to pay a $50 non-refundable fee to see if we would even qualify to move back into our own apartment after they refurbished it. And we just didn't have peace about that. You know, we weren't really upset about it. You know, we really weren't, but we saw the Lord's hand in it and just started praying immediately that His will would be done. So long story short, I'll just say that's one example of hyperinflation that's been taking place around the country. I know it's been, you know, coming in different ways to different areas. But what they did was they refurbished every apartment in our complex, and then the rent went up 100%. And, you know, we could have afforded to stay there, you know, financially, but, you know, we just wanted the Lord's will anyway. So we began praying immediately and just asking the Lord what He wanted and waited on Him, and He took us through a process to see if we'd really seek His will or our own desires. We went through a test, and we, by His grace, we passed it. And He moved us in with a family of believers about an hour south of where we used to live, just right outside the city limits of the Portland metro area. And so they're a family of believers, and you know, they've been baptized in the Holy Spirit and walking with the Lord for many years and been through many, many trials. The family of 11, most of the children are grown and moved out. Another one moved out last year during the time we were here and so on and so forth. And the Lord enabled us to, really be an encouragement and stand with them in prayer through some very, very difficult trials they went through last year. And, of course, you know, when you're uprooted from a situation where you've got your own living space and your own, you know, we were really, really blessed where we lived. I mean, it was the Lord's favor moved us in there. Let's see, back in 2008, and gave us a really exceptional deal and so on and so forth. So, you know, and then when you're thrust into a living situation, that's entirely different. It was a good crucifixion in many ways. You know, we have a little, what we call our tiny house, a little 200 square foot space. We're living out behind the, what we call the big house, which is 50 feet away. And, you know, they're really kind. We can go in, into the house and use the facilities anytime, day or night. There's no running water in the little place we're staying in, but we have electricity and, you know, we make it work by the grace of God. And so, anyway, my point in bringing this up is we've been, you know, really praying and interceding for the family. And in the midst of this great trial the Lord has been bringing me through that I've shared with you guys, I've somehow been receiving the grace to continue to be a blessing and encouragement to the family. And it's all by the grace of God. Would like to pray for Mary is the name of the wife of the couple's names, Roger and Mary, and to just ask for, you know, anybody that gets impressed from the Lord to pray for them. Would appreciate any prayers for them and for us to continue to be to them what they need. Mary was sharing her heart yesterday with me about her, you know, some of her struggles, and I've known this for a while. She is really, really putting up a good fight of the faith. And the Lord has been urging her and pleading with her to really enter the rest. You know, she's a very hard worker. She's very hospitable, just always looking out for other people's needs, and I really appreciate that about her. And I've been able to share, you know, a little bit of the truths I've received from this ministry, and I've been very careful to do it in love, you know, to not get on in dogmatic tangents like I used to in the past. And she's been receiving it, you know, and Roger's been, most of my ministry to Roger has just been listening. And just, you know, just give a listening ear and pray. I found that to be most effective, you know, and for him on his part. So would really like to pray in agreement that they both would really find the place of rest, understand what entering into the rest is. You know, they're aware of things coming, on this nation and, in different, you know, it's going to come in different ways. We know it to different areas, but, they're aware of those things to a large degree. So, just would like to, pray for the Lord to give them the revelation and the grace to apprehend the knowledge that they need, the understanding to see, okay, this is the rest, this way, you know, enter into this. Because, you know, Mary told me yesterday, she's told me many times, is the Lord keeps saying rest. And she's really, really fighting to find out, you know, what that really means. So that's my prayer request.
Well, hey, Chad, do you want to pray and we'll believe with you?
Dad, sure, I can do that, yes. Okay. Father, I thank you so much, Lord, for your mercy and grace on my life. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I pray that in your great mercy and grace that you would... as you're helping me and showing me how to enter that rest, Lord, that you would grant Roger and Mary and everyone in this family the knowledge and the understanding the personal revelation that each one needs to understand what the rest is according to your word, Lord, to see this great intimacy that you're calling each one into, the great freedom and the blessed assurance of faith and hope that comes with really resting in you, Lord. Please, Father, give them the grace. Give them what is needful, Lord. Break through into each one. Break through into Roger's heart and mind. Break through all of the strongholds in Roger's mind, Lord, as you've been getting, we're really working to get his attention from all sides, Lord. I thank you that he's been recognizing that, Father, and I thank you that your love is surrounding him, Lord, to break down every dividing wall in his mind that stands between him and you, Lord. I bind up all spirits of intellectualism coming against him, and I command you to loose your hold on him in Jesus' name. And all the spirits that are working along with that, all the spirits of pride and just the distractions of the leaven that he has received from the various forms of the apostate religious system throughout the years, I command that to be consumed in him quickly in this season in Jesus' name. And I pray, Lord, that your love, your great love would be lavished upon him in such a way, Lord, that he'd be able to quickly humble himself and receive and apprehend this revelation knowledge that would help him to apprehend more of that for which he has also been apprehended by Christ Jesus. And I pray that for Mary too, Lord, for the things that she's struggling through, Lord, wanting so much to please, Lord, and wanting to, really wanting to be pleasing to you, but because of things from her past and what she's been raised believing, which she has confessed, Lord, that have been so ingrained in her that she wants freedom from, that you would help her to, in your great mercy and grace, to break through all of that, Lord. I thank you. You have been helping her do that. I pray that you would quicken that work in her, Lord. And then in each one in the family, Lord, you know where each one's at and what each one needs. From those that have walked away, Lord, and have wandered out into the world, and either don't even know they need to run to you or don't think they can, Lord, that you would stop them in their tracks and turn them quickly to you. And those that are diligently seeking, Lord, that from what I can see, they're seeking you with the best of their ability, Lord, that you would meet them where they're at, quickly take them in, Lord, to your rest. And I thank you for it, Father. Please continue to keep a hedge of protection about this family. In Jesus' name, thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen. Lord, we all believe with Chad that this is going to happen. In the name of Jesus, Lord. Thank you for bringing truth to him. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And bless him, Lord. Bless him. Bless him,
Father.
Bless him with a dream or a vision, Father. A lot of people, sounds like in their situation, don't even know what that is. Don't even know that dreams are from you, Lord. Can be from you. And Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that it's going to be something that will just change them. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. All right. Thank you, Lord.
Hey, thank you, Michael. Can I make a good confession quick?
Oh, yeah. You go right ahead, brother.
Did a little testimony. The Lord has really convicted me, you know, as I've shared already, of a lot of self-righteousness and pride and stuff. All the stench that goes along with that, and you know, it's been so good to deal with me on that. And I was recognizing a while ago how I had, you know, critical thoughts towards the family, just because of my own issues, really, and self-righteousness and religious spirits and so on and so forth. And he's really given me the grace to humble myself and realize, man, you know, with all this knowledge the Lord has given me, I've been made more responsible in some ways, been more guilty than them, and really been able to humble myself, and they've been, you know, testifying to me and sharing with me that they've seen the difference and are able to receive a lot better from me now because of that. So I thank and I praise the Lord, and I thank everyone for their prayers and standing in agreement with me, because it is bearing much fruit, and I'm looking forward to more. So I'm not coming across as I asked someone yesterday, you know, I'd shared something about dying to self. You know, I shared a little bit about dying to self, and because I've longed for that for many years, but I've recognized where I've gotten out of balance, and I tend to beat down on myself, and it becomes a self-condemnation thing, and then, of course, that comes out on others, where it doesn't really lift others up, you know. Even if I'm not putting them down directly, what's in the heart still comes out in words. And so I asked someone, I said, how did that come across, you know, and I shared about that. The person told me, well, sound like you're kind of, you know, you're putting down on yourself. And she said, it didn't come across condemning at all, which I was very thankful for. But I recognized, okay, this is where I have to grow yet. So I thank the Lord for growth. Just pray that every one of my words be edifying for the building up of the need, and the Lord's helped me to get there. So praise the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for setting Chad free. Thank you, Jesus. Well, all right. Anything else, Chad?
No, that's it for now. Thank you very much, Michael.
Okay. All right. Let me... Hey, Joe D., can I pray for you right quick? Father, in the name of Jesus, I lift up Joe to you. And Lord, I thank you for my brother. I thank you, Lord, that you've given him boldness where there was no boldness before. And I thank you, Lord, that fear is gone. I thank you for that, Father. I thank you, Lord, that Joe is a mighty man of God. I declare it and decree it in the name of Jesus. And I praise you, Father, for my brother. And I thank you, Father, that you're lifting him up. You're bringing him out of that quagmire that all of us have been in at times. And, Lord, I thank you for that. I thank you, Lord, that his head is out running after you with all of his heart. And I praise you for it, Father. And he's such a blessing for this fellowship, Lord, that I thank you for it. And I thank you, Lord, that you're going to embolden him to speak when you want him to speak, and to say the things of the wisdom that you've given him, Father, in the name of Jesus. And we praise you for it. We thank you, Lord, for empowering Joe to speak the things that you want him to speak when it's time. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen, brother. All right. Anybody else? I got your email, and I did pray for you at the time, brother.
Amen. Amen. Appreciate it.
Yeah. All right. Anybody else?
Yeah.
All right. Go ahead, Jim.
I'm better speak now since I'm unmuted there. Now, like I was saying earlier, and I think I probably briefly told you in one of my last emails to you, I've just been, well, I guess it's what seems to be on the radar right now. You know, I've got so much since I've come back to the teachings of UBM, it's just like I could go, there's like several things that kind of come to mind, you know, that I guess the Lord's trying to deal with me. But the one thing lately that just really has been at the forefront, it's, you know, just dying to self, as like, you know, Chad talked about there briefly. And you said things the last couple weeks that have just been pretty convicting for me. And I, unfortunately, you know, I have been, you know, I look at my work situation where I'm currently at, and I'd say the last couple of years I've noticed it in my life. That, you know, I mean, I'm sure there are other areas where the flesh is, you know, I mean, the flesh has been there. It's been doing quite a work in my life, and you know, it's still pretty strong. But I think in the area of where I'm at is, you know, listening to David's teachings of, I think, it, you know, these truths first kind of hit me when he, you know, I remember listening to the curse of unforgiveness. I mean, I've battled that for years. You know, when you come from a very pretty abusive past, yeah, that's very easy to fall into that trap of unforgiveness, you know, bitterness, all that stuff. So I've had to battle that. And, you know, I mean, I have overcome considerably. You know, I am thankful that it's not a temptation like it used to be. But I think with right now where I am, and I think there's been, you know, there's been a lot of fear there. I'm glad you prayed about that, you know, just saying no more fear. And it's just been very tough lately, you know, being at work. I mean, I've always had a pretty, I wouldn't say it's a very hostile environment, but it's, you know, I think it's the Lord has, the last couple of years, has kind of helped me to just, you know, like Chad, be a listener. You know, like Chad said, I mean, maybe that's the best right now is to listen to people. You know, I'm not one to just kind of, I mean, really minister to a lot of people. You know, I guess God is, I mean, God is doing a major work on me still. And it, I mean, he's been doing that the last so many years. And so it's not really, and of course, you know, he has, I mean, he's, you know, during that process, I guess you don't really minister to people a lot because you need it more yourself. You know, you need ministered to a lot more than what you can for other people. And so I think it's, you know, I've had to listen. And so, I mean, I can relate with a lot of what people have been through and the struggle they still go through at work. You know, and that's been, I mean, I can see how God's been using that. I mean, I'm sure it's probably just to learn to pray more for people, you know, these specific people, and just kind of, you know, wait for opportunities, you know, when the door opens to, you know, reach out to people and to minister to them. But I think lately is just, I've had this one I can think in general. His name's Chris. It's a specific coworker that, you know, he's been a troublesome individual. I mean, been through a lot in life. And I think, you know, since almost day one, I guess I mean, I've always had trouble just kind of holding my tongue. You know, I mean, it's just knowing, I mean, you know, just being slow to speak, slow to anger. You know, I mean, I've had those anger issues in the past. It hasn't been as strong as it was lately, but with these certain individuals, I think with him in general, it's like, it kind of reminds me of people who tend to try to take advantage of others. You know, this guy, I guess he wants to always be in control of everything. He wants his way. And, you know, I guess I was just basically at a point, or early on, I kind of noticed, I think, and this has been a struggle of mine with, you know, turning the other cheek. It's just not letting people take advantage of me. Difficult people, like learning to, you know, and even with, I guess, a past of abuse, it's hard to take the, you know, verbal, you know, whatever you want to call it. I mean, you could even say abuse at times. I mean, it seems like it. The accusations, like you know, David and his recent, or his message, How Shall We Die? I'm slowly getting through that one. I think the enemy's keeping me from really getting through. You know, I have struggled to kind of listen to the last, I think, two or three parts of it. You know, I've been pretty distracted and so. I mean, I'm sure the enemy and, you know, my flesh is really keeping me from getting this and really, really putting it into practice in my life. But I think with this individual and I, recently, you know, last month or so, the Lord's, you know, kind of given me a promotion at work. I mean, I've got a small raise, but I've pulled on a little more responsibility. And I think through the trials recently, you know, I think the enemy, I'm having to wonder, well, I mean, not really feeling peace being in that position. Maybe God wants me there or maybe not. I don't know. You know, and I've kind of sensed, I mean, you know, well, I'm not really liking it, you know, where I'm at. So, I mean, I still just stop and say, okay, wait a minute. I want to be where God wants me to be. You know, I don't want to just say, hey, you know, God's opened this door recently in my life and, you know, for a financial promotion, but also for more responsibility and maybe, you know, whatever else that, you know, God can use me there. But it's, you know, I've been hesitant to kind of embrace this new position the last couple of weeks. But I think most of all is even, you know, with this certain coworker, and there's been others. It takes a while for me, I guess, to learn things. You know, I'm a slow learner. Through a lot of trial and error, I eventually pick things up, and that's frustrating to, you know, a lot of the guys at work. You know, it's like they want something immediately. You know, they want it done immediately. And, I mean, my job is basically coordinating the task for the day because I work in a, you know, logistics warehouse, shipping warehouse. And so, I mean, it's a very small company. So, I mean, you know, I'm over you could say I'm over about a handful or just, a little more than a handful of guys. And, you know, a lot of them are just very impatient. You know, they're very impatient. And I see where that's a lot of the battle is just to remain patient and just kind of focus on the task at hand. And it gets very frustrating at times. But I think the biggest thing is, you know, and I remember listening to David's message. And he had that coworker when he worked in, I think, the refinery. you know, the one I think for about a year or two, just who was accusing him of different things and just speaking ill of him. And just, you know, David even saying, you know, hey, I mean, not even saying much of anything at all, but being just kind of quiet and kind and gentle with the person. That was quite, you know, convicting for me. But I thought, I mean, and even I could see how the enemy causing me to fear, you know, with just my abusive past. It just seemed like, I don't know. I mean, it seems hard. I mean, yeah, I mean, in the flesh and in our own ability, it's not possible. But I think I've been struggling with that lately, you know, and that can go to really anywhere, not just work, but just for me right now and my work situation. You know, I mean, I live by myself, and so I have kind of distanced myself from my family, and it's a very quiet time in my life. You know, I don't know, you know, I don't have really many relationships right now where I'm out, you know, interacting with others. So it's a very quiet time, and it's just work's the only real time right now that I have interacting with other people. You know, so I think that, you know, the Lord's trying to get me aside, is what it seems like. And really try to do a work on me. And, you know, I've been kind of been, you know, resistant to that, I must confess. But I think lately what I need prayer for is just, also that I would desire. Because you've said at times too, Michael, you know, the last week or two, it's there's times where we waste these opportunities, where we waste these trials and, you know, this being in this refining fire. If we let the flesh interfere, and it just, you know, it's a totally wasted time. And I see, like I said, the last couple of years of my life, I've been caught up in this thing. You know, the Lord wants to deal with this part, you know what I mean? He wants to, wants to crucify this part, you know, where the flesh has such a hold on me. And where, you know, the way I react to people, He wants to teach me, you know, I believe, to be able to turn the other cheek, to not get easily offended when somebody accusing me of something that, okay, they could, you know, they could be right or not, but just to be able to remain calm and just not lash out, or, you know, when that person leaves, start talking about them. You know, I mean, I have that temptation, you know, a lot of times. I did that today. I think, you know, yesterday it's been this same individual, Chris. You know, he'll always go. He's pretty bold to just go right in front of me and complain to the supervisors. I mean, I have a desk in the office, and like the next room over is one of the two of the supervisors, I believe. And so one of them, he's been pretty bold in the past to just kind of complain right in front of me. And, you know, I mean, yeah, it's just, he knows what buttons to push, knows how to get the flesh riled up, and the, you know, the spirits in him know how to get the spirits in me riled up. And so I think lately, you know, yeah, I must confess, I have wasted those opportunities. And I think it's, you know, in the times we're coming, I don't want to keep wasting those opportunities for God, you know, for the, you know, opportunities to crucify the flesh. Because like I told you last week, you know, the hardest thing is just keeping that old man on the cross and not letting him keep coming off. I mean, it's just so easy. I think it's, you know, it's that fear of just being vulnerable. You know, when you're in that situation and you're being persecuted, or, I mean, yeah, you're being accused of something that isn't, you know, necessarily true. Or, I mean, you're having somebody come against you, you know. And I think it's one of the hardest things for me is just, you know, in the past, I mean, yeah, having several people come against me in my life, you know, those who have, or that person who has abused me. You know, I never had anybody to, you know, defend me or to stand up for me. So I think it's the hardest to just even also believe. You know, I think there's that, you know, struggle to really believe in this sense, okay, God, where were you before? You know, I mean, you allowed this, and I know He allowed it for a reason, all these things. You know, I'm still not sure what, but it's kind of hard, I guess, at times to believe, okay, if I let down my guard, I don't give the old man, you know, space and the time to speak, but I just sit back and take it, you know, what will happen? I guess there's the biggest fear, you know, because I've seen in the past when I've just rolled over, you know, or just kind of, you know, let my guard down and let it happen to me. Yeah, I mean, just, you know, it was quite devastating. So I think there's that fear still there of just, you know, yeah, I mean, turning the other cheek, not returning evil, or you know, returning good for evil, bless and not curse, all those things. And that's been, I mean, it's been quite a convicting thing for me lately, but it's also, I mean, yeah, it's been scary. It's like, wow, yeah, that's what the Lord commands of us. That was the character of Jesus. I look all through the Gospels, and yeah, the more I'll see some of those, you know, various films of just, you know, about the life of Christ, and just, you know, the various films of the Gospels. And I keep hearing that reiterated over and over, and I just see how he dealt with people and how he let people come against him. And I think that's the biggest thing. It's just God's trying to work that in me. Because I've always been a pretty defensive individual, you know, and I like I think you said last week about the spirit of, you know, rejection. Yeah, that was me. I wouldn't take correction or, you know, from anybody humbly, because it's just I was afraid I was going to be rejected, and I was afraid people were going to find out this is what I'm struggling with. You know, this is me right now. They're not going to like me, you know, and they're going to reject me. So it's easy to put that wall back up and defend yourself and, you know, justify, you know, I'm dealing with this, you know. And so it's, yeah, I mean, I see that, yeah, those are many obstacles to kind of getting that way. But, yeah, I could definitely use prayer for that. Just most of all, not just that, but to desire to stand, you know, I mean, if I have to. In the fire, and just let the old man die, because it's a very painful experience. Yeah, I mean, you know, that's been said many times, and it's, but just to desire to not fight back, to not to not defend myself, as I said, you know, in how shall we die series, we're not to defend ourselves. Period. You know, that's up to God. That's God's role. Is what I'm starting to realize. Yeah, or there's others in the body, you know, who will defend you. But we're not to, you know, defend ourselves. And a lot of times, that's the first thing I do. At the slightest, maybe, correction, or someone might come up with some just, you know, constructive criticism, the first thing I want to do is say, hold up, you know, defend myself, you know, and try to get that person to realize, hey, you know, nothing's wrong here. But, you know, so yeah, it's, you know, those are some prayer requests right now that I need.
Well, all right, let's pray.
Yeah, amen.
Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for killing Joe. Yeah. Lord, just lash out and kill the old flesh out of Joe and allow and put a hunger in him for righteousness and to seek you, Lord, with all his heart and to want to do what you have commanded him to do, and that is to die. So that you can come alive in him, Lord, just like all the rest of us, Lord. We know it's a struggle. We're not used to dying to self. We've always been taught, most of us have always been taught to fight and to scramble and to get what you can and to pull yourself up by your bootstraps kind of stuff. But, Lord, this is an entirely different walk that you've got us on. You want us to be just like Jesus, and you want us to be disciples, which are learners and followers of Jesus. And so you want us to do just like he did, and he died for us. And Lord, we have to die to self. And Father, we thank you for these trials that come up, and place it in the hearts to understand that that's all it is, that you have orchestrated it for one reason, and that is to teach us how to die. And Father, I thank you for doing that for Joe in a mighty way, that when somebody comes up in front of him, that he understands that it's a test. This is another test, and the next one will be easier, and the next one will be a lot easier. We come against the spirit of rejection on him. We command it to go in the name of Jesus, and we command that spirit of the fear of rejection to go in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you that he's free of that. And that not only that, Lord, that the people around him are going to notice this great and wonderful change in Joe, that he's not the man he used to be. He's more meek. He's more humble. He's more like Jesus. We don't know what's going on with Joe. He's more like Jesus. He's walking just like Jesus. Look at that glow on Jesus. Everybody knows that the Christian, the true Christian, has a glow about him. And Father, we thank you that you're doing a mighty work in Joe in that respect. And we praise you for it, Father. And matter of fact, Lord, I pray for every one of us that you thoroughly, thoroughly cleanse us of flesh and place us into that unique position of dying, and that you would come alive, Lord, that the light of the gospel would come alive in each one of us. And we praise you for it, Father. Thank you for the work you're doing in Joe. Thank you, Lord, for lifting him up and giving him the boldness to not speak out, but to turn the other cheek. Said, man, did that felt good? Go ahead and get you another right here. And Lord, we thank you that you are maturing Joe in a mighty way. And Father, I ask and I pray, Lord, that you set a watch before his lips, that he only speaks as an oracle of God. That he not curse himself or the people around him. And that the only thing that he does is just bless them. And I ask that for all of us, Lord, that you teach us all to just bless folks and not curse them. And we thank you for it, Father. And Lord, correct our thinking too. Correct our thinking. Correct Joe's thinking. Correct my thinking. Correct everybody's thinking, Lord. That we have to always look at the Christ in people and not the other. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for doing a great and mighty work in Joe. In Jesus' name. Everybody believe that?
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father.
Thank you.
Joe, where are you from?
Hamilton, Ohio. That's in southern Ohio. So, yeah.
Oh, it's better than northern Ohio, I can tell you that. It's too cold up there.
Yeah, it's cold, yeah.
Praise God. Thank you, Joe. That's awesome,
amen,
brother.
Amen. No problem.
Do you want something, Dave? Was you raising your hand or are you just praising the Lord?
I was thinking, you know, and Joe was talking about that because today I briefly stumbled across, I was looking on YouTube, see if there's anything news on there. I got this app, there's anything different that showed up. And I seen Jordan Peterson or something on there. And you guys ever hear of Jordan Peterson before?
Mm-hmm.
He does a lot of studies, you know, and he's a really smart man from Canada. But he was talking about how disagreeable people are the ones that make it in this world. They're the ones that get ahead. They're not necessarily the ones that are agreeable. The agreeable ones are, you know, kind of passive and like to get along with people, are easy to work with. But those aren't the ones that push ahead through life. And I was thinking, wow, how contrary is that, you know, from the Christian walk, you know, because you could see it in your environment, especially the people that are successful. They can be very forceful too. They can be very direct. I mean, they're going to be the leaders. They're going to be they're going to be finding some way to like in Bible talks about the Gentiles having like to have authority and rule. Well, that's the kind of attitude that the world has. They've got this, you know, I've got to make my name for myself. I got to push forward. I've got to lead and be over top of others, and I got to tell them what to do. And I, in the process, it's going to be my way or the highway kind of thing, you know. And we're going to, you know, just push. Well, in the Christ world, it's all about getting along. It's all about fellowship. It's all about brotherhood. It's all about, you know, if you have a problem, we all have a problem. You know, it's all about sharing and receiving, and it's just knocking down and not caring for self. It's putting others before yourself. It's just totally different from the world's concept about how to live. And so, you know, we start applying our rules on ourselves in this world, boy, we come to the cross quick. Because that world's out there ready to put us on a cross because they're out there trying to push, shove, and manipulate and, you know, cajole however they can to get whoever they can to do what they want. And so, guess what? You know, we're the usable, likable people. we're the ones that are gonna come to all the time and push and shove and move around because they don't have a fight there. They like that. They like having people, agreeable people. And so I'm not saying that in a sense that we're going to be always manipulated and taken advantage of, but at the same time, this is kind of like, as long as they don't take it personal, which I've learned not to do. I mean, because some people, you know, especially in your work environment, where the first thing you do is you have this stake to your territory, and you're who you are, and, you know, when you're kind of in the flesh a little bit, you got that star glory going thing, and it's easy to fall into that same old thinking that, hey, I've got to protect my environment, protect who I am in my environment, and I'm not going to be pushed around. But when you start letting the flesh die and you just go along with it and make people your friends and just try to be, you know, try to love people, well, you know, that whole perspective changes again. And then you're out there just trying to help people through their problems, and you're trying to think, well, when they start talking to you about things they're doing, they, well, if you can share with them a little bit about Scripture and the Gospel and how things work and God's plan, boy, if they stick around long enough to hear you, that's wonderful. Like, I had a girl here yesterday, day before yesterday, she started, and it's like the demons in her. And I think David talked about that Sunday, there's going to be people that want to share things with you. It's basically the demons that are in them are going to want to try to plant a seed in you. So immediately, in the process of out of nowhere, this woman just started talking about how she wants to get my boss fired. All right, you know, I listened to it not very long, but long enough to say, as well, eventually I said, yeah, I don't think that's the place you want to go.
Sounds like the Democrats.
Well, she, I'll have to ask her.
Well, I mean, you know, they're trying to fire Trump.
Yeah, I mean, but that's it. You know, they get that focus, like, you know, this person's coming in my life and giving me a hard time. I got to get this person, rid of this person. You know, I got to do something that's going to, you know, make my life better because I want my way and I don't want them to have their way with me and how I do my job. So I don't care if it's like they telling me to do something, I'm going to find a way to get rid of them so I don't have to hear that. It's like, oh my gosh. You know, it's like, wait a minute. You know, some people lose the whole perspective of why they're working. They're working because the employer has them do things, you know. So, but I wasn't trying to do that, say it a critical way as much as I could just say, well, you know, because she's told me before that she had been Catholic. And I thought, well, this isn't much to work with, but I'll try something. You know, I says, well, you know, there is a sovereign God in our life, and everything that comes in your life is, he's got control in all of that. And I says, maybe he's trying to come against your flesh and make things work better towards you, getting you closer to him. I says, that's the only person you got to fear in this world is God. That's it. I mean, you ain't got to fear anything else. You just got to fear God and figure out what he wants. That's it. You get that worked out, I says, everything else is fine. You know, you don't have to worry about trying to get somebody fired or whatever. Just try to make sure you got God, fear God. And I got a few words out, and she says, well, I got to go. I got to, you know, you got to get things done. I got to go. And she had to get out of there. You know, it's like the demons were saying, you got to leave. I said, okay, fine. I'm just trying to help, you know. And it's not like I'm trying to live her life, but at the same time, I know we all had to experience that. We had to have difficult people come up against us and curse us out and speak ill of us in front of others, right in front of everybody, you know, speak the world and yell at you and scream at us, you know, and it's like, okay, Lord, I went through it, you know, it wasn't very fun, but you still go through it and you try to think the best and hold yourself down and just go forward without even giving it a thought, you know, push it aside. You can remember that the time you're on the cross for that, but it doesn't mean you hold it against anybody, you know. And I was, when you were talking about suffering, I did download it. So you can get it off the website. It's really good, from David's site. It's Why Should We Suffer Joyfully? It's a document there you can read. And it's got all these verses in about suffering. And one of the greatest things I think it talks about is, you know, well, there's a number of them, but here's one in 2 Peter 2:19. It says, for is acceptable if for conscience sake towards God a man endures griefs. Boy, we're going to endure griefs, you know, and suffer wrongfully. And in verse 20 says, for what glory is it if we sin and are buffeted for it? You shall take it patiently. But what if you do well and suffer for it? You shall take it patiently. Well, it doesn't give really any room there. You know, we're just going to take it, you know. This is acceptable with God. For into you were called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow his steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, or deceit. Who, when he was reviled not again. When he suffered not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. And boy, when we're going to follow this, we're going to go and follow the same footsteps of Jesus. You know, it's Jesus going to be created in us when we do what that is. Because that's what Jesus went through. And, you know, I think recently even David might have said this. Oh, no, I'm listening to a Born Again series. It talks about a student can be no greater than his teacher. He can be just become as his teacher. Equals to his teacher. In other words, the perfection you're going to create is Jesus in you. You're going to become as Christ. We follow this example. So that's just think about what the reward is. I'm becoming as Christ. And that takes the mind off why this is coming against me. And it's not so terrible. It's like, hey, Jesus is being birthed in me now. That's what the point is. So I'll just leave it at that.
Amen. That's good, babe. Anybody else? Yeah, go ahead, Pat.
When I was thinking about that, what Joe was talking about there, it reminded me, I probably mentioned it a few times, but the Lord was taking me through a process of kind of early on, I could see that his goal was to create Christ, the character of Christ in me. And I have the same problem with lashing out at people and that sort of thing. And I know that I remember stumbling onto the verse. I'm going to look it up real quick. In everything, give thanks. It's in First Thessalonians 5:18. He's talking about pray without ceasing, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit, and so on. And I remember looking at that and seeing it a little bit different at that time. And I would ask the Lord through this time when people would come against me, they would either reject or they would say something offensive or whatever it would be. They would, or somebody would do something to irritate me in some form or another, maybe somebody at work or whatever the thing was. And the Lord kind of trained me into immediately and in the process when that was happening to give thanks to the Lord immediately, because this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning me. He was perfecting. He was doing something. He was using this person in my life to get right at the areas that he knew that needed to be got to in my life. And it was kind of a struggle at the time to do that, especially when somebody's right in your face and you're under your breath, you're thanking the Lord for this person here right in your face. But I realized that even though it was a little bit of a struggle to do that, that it took my focus off of this, off of what was happening here in front of me, even though I was, might be looking at this condition or the situation or the person, but it took my spiritual focus and placed it upon God, who was controlling the situation or brought this situation into my life. And I think the Lord really benefited me through that process, because that kind of led to other things, and I was able to pray for people while they were in my face, against me or doing things that were, you know, against my desires at the time. And I felt it very relieving at that time, but I think back at the times, I read the book, Fox's Book of Martyrs, when I was a young Christian, and I was so impressed with that, and it kind of revealed to me the secret place of the Most High, where I remember reading of one example where I might even mentioned it on this teleconference before or something, but it was when a couple of guys were in, they had thrown him in jail and they were going to be burned at the stake. Did I say something like that before? Do you remember, Michael?
I don't remember.
There was two guys that were, this was during the persecution in the very, very early church, 200 or 300 AD or whatever. And these two men were captured, thrown in jail, and they were going to be burned at the stake, and they were fretting over that and wondering, that if God gives dying grace at that time in order to make it through the process. And so they made an agreement that whoever went first, that he would in the fire, if he received God's grace in that process, that he would raise his hand. And of course, the first person went to the stake, and he was watching out the cell bars or whatever it was, and they lit the fire around this person, and he stood still and went up in the flames basically, and just burnt all up. And of course, about the time the man was starting to lose hope of the fact that there was dying grace, this charred bone structure of a person that was charred in this fire raised his arms up above his head and started to clap his hands, praising God. And of course, that the guy just blew up in faith, you know, just and was able to walk to his cross in faith, knowing that God gives dying grace or gives grace. But the thing that hit me at the time is that separation of that God brings us through, separating us from this body and the torments in this body and the sufferings that are taking place in this body, by faith, He can bring us through into that resurrection at the same time this is happening. And of course, the joy of being in that resurrection supersedes the death process that's happening in the flesh, because no one likes to die, but everybody likes to live. And if you can live and watch that flesh in the fire burn, It's okay as long as I'm up here being preserved in Christ. So that was, it was, and I think that was the example that kind of led me into that thinking of giving thanks at the time that this is happening, because it was, for me, it was more of a freeing or something that I could participate in functioning in looking towards God for his deliverance through that process. And so I guess that's all I wanted to say on that.
Amen. That's awesome. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, I can see him now. Just charred remains up there clapping, praising God. Took all the fear out of the other guy, didn't it? Praise the Lord. Yeah. Okay, anybody else? Yeah, Denny. I saw a video, it's been 3 or 4 years ago, and it was a guy, it was 3 or 4 men that were pulled together. This is over in Africa somewhere, was some Muslim country, and they were putting sticks out there and fixing to burn these men. There's some one old man, they had the fire going, they had a little fire going. The three of them, I think, were just trying to get out of there, and they'd knock them back, and they'd knock them back into the fire. But just one old man, he just take the sticks and pile them on himself, and he was burning himself up. He was going for the glory of God. These were Christians, and he was showing them that God's grace, I guess, was bigger than the fire. Praise God. Yeah, it kind of reminded me of that when you were talking about that, Patrick. I've read Fox's, some of Fox's, you know, I just scan through it, you know how you do, something like that. And I don't guess I ever remember reading that one. That is awesome. I'm going to have to go back and check that out. That's a good one. Praise God. All right, anybody else on dying to self? Did you have something, Andrew?
Well, what comes to mind is the guy at my work there who had a go at me when I was trying to explain creation to him. Yeah, and then my manager came in on it too to try to get my goat and say, I was going to just wonder, Andrew, when you were going to bring something up like this. and I went, oh, that's even more comforting there. But it ended up that, you know, you go through that and you go, this is the Lord now burning off some of my flesh here. But I really thought I was getting that guy to understand when I was talking to him. And it turns out that his daughter's taking anthropology or something like that too. And so anything I was explaining to him, because I used some of Ken Holman stuff there. And that was a good experience. And
I always liked old Ken Holman stuff. He's pretty simple. Yeah. He made it fun. Go ahead, brother.
Well, that's it, you know. Like, you do get a lot of this in your lifetime. Because what I do is I read my Bible at work in my corner. And I've been there for 32 years. I'm going to be there. This year is going to be 32 years. And of course, you get a lot of people coming in and leaving and a lot of people retiring. And there was times where they used to warn people about me, say, don't go talk to that guy over there. He's going to talk to you about the Bible. So, you know, I finally just said, you know, I know this rumor is going around about me that you're not to talk to me because I might talk to you about the Bible. So, and I was just telling him, you know, that's not a bad thing. because most of them are from some sort of Christian origin. And it's not a really bad thing to talk about the Bible. And, of course, it gets them to look at it from a different point of view, you know. So most of those people are gone. Some were even taken out, and I believe the Lord took them out because of the way they behaved towards me. And I was just a young person in the Lord, too, and he didn't want them around so that I would lose faith or stop walking with the Lord at that time. Because he draws you continually, I think, to come even closer and closer to him. You know, we want him to draw our loved ones to salvation. And he does draw them there because he drew you to that point too. So that's a comforting thing to know that he's going to draw them to ever closer to him. And because he drew you ever closer to him. And look where you are now. You're on that narrow road, and just with the way that sets you apart, you know, all the new knowledge that you have, that sets you apart from a lot of people in this world, you know. And if you can get a person to suddenly maybe think twice about even, let's say, creation or something, you know, he can be that little bit closer if someone's praying for him to be saved. And, you know, every once in a while, you know, they might talk about a church that they visited. This guy did visit a Pentecostal church, and his daughter was very interested in it. And I think it, because of the tongues, they were speaking in tongues, but then this guy was twitching a bit and sort of made him think that they were kind of weird there. And he thought the tongues was weird too. And I said, no, no, tongues is a gift of the Spirit you get in chapter 14 of Corinthians. And I walked beside him for a while and just said that few words to this person who had this huge disagreement and yelling with me about creation prior, you know, maybe 8 months ago. So there's something there, maybe. But I just don't know, you know. Well, that's all I have to say.
All right. Yeah, that's true. We got to die to self. Romans 12. This is a couple of verses here I'd like to quote. 12 and 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service. Well, of course, you know we came here to die. Everybody knows we came here to die. That's been under UBM's teaching. And it's not, you know, it's not physical necessarily, but it's a spiritual thing. Romans 12 and 2. And he be not fashioned according to this world. That's what we've been talking about. Be not fashioned according to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know, we got to spend time in the Word of God so we can program it into our hearts. And we have to put it in there enough so that it itself, the Word of God, overcomes what's already there, and that's the flesh. A lot of people just touch the Word of God once a week and that's it. But if you put that thing in your heart and your mind enough, it will empower you to overcome that flesh. And that's what that verse there brings to my mind. You'll never walk in that perfection without renewing your mind with the Word of God. The more you put it in there, the more you're able to overcome the flesh. And that has just hit me here just in the last little bit, you know. And so that's what I do now. I just, like Andrew, I study the Word. I get the Word in me. I want the Word in me. I want all of the Word in me. So I can overcome that flesh.
And just like we were talking about it, we're going to need to do that here shortly. I want to be in the bride. I want to be up there with the people that are helping other people, you know, serving other people that come in, making disciples out of them. And that's the way to do it. All right. Anybody else? And that, what was the name of that, David? That thing there on site there that Barbara put up there?
Barb posted it in the chat, the link. It's called, Why We Should Suffer Joyfully. It's also an audio, but it's in a document or on the website. So you can download the audio too. Why We Should Suffer Joyfully.
You know, I was at a time when somebody come against me, you know, something, and I tell them, I said, look, I'm a Christian, and I'm supposed to die to the flesh, and I've got a little bit left. You keep on messing with me, I'm going to throw it all over you, you know. I've done that before. But I've learned that you can't do that anymore. You can't do that anymore, you know. If you want to die to the flesh, you got to die to the flesh. I ain't got a whole lot, brother, but I'm going to throw what I got right on top of your head. You keep on. No, that's that old worldly thinking.
I was one of those guys, I would fight at the drop of a hat. I was ready to go.
Yeah.
So, yeah. You know.
I want to be like Jesus now.
Boy, I tell you, there's the battle right there.
Yeah, I'm going to be like Jesus. I ain't there yet, but I'm trying. I can see myself in the mirror. Y'all looking at yourself in the mirror and seeing Jesus? That's how we do it. We do it by faith. Call it those things that are not as though they were. Amen. All right. Anybody else want to talk about how to die to the flesh or some kind of a testimony that you have of overcoming or trying to overcome?
You can hang on to that promise that in Philippians where he says he will finish the good work that he began in us. We can hold on to that.
Amen. That's a good one too, Barbara. Amen. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all its righteousness, and everything else going to fall right into place. That's what we ought to be, the seeking first the kingdom of God. Where is that? That's in Matthew 12 and something or other.
Isn't it on the Sermon on the Mount?
Okay.
In the Matthew?
Matthew 6.
Yeah.
Matthew 6 and 32. Yeah. That sound right? Sound good to me.
Okay, Paul. There's something good there anyway.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, Matthew 6. Let me get my... Anyway, that's what we ought to be doing most of the time is... seeking, well, all the time, actually. You know, that's one of the things that we tell new people coming in here, you know, is to do that, seek if, yeah, 633 is the first, okay. I said 32, I was close. Anyway, we tell them, you know, your work is not the most important thing. Your family is not your most important thing. Your wife or your husband is not your most important thing. Most important thing is seeking the Lord and running after the Lord. You can't help your family if you're not running after the Lord, can you? And if you're seeking first the kingdom of God, you don't have any idols in your life then. It's the idols that we get distracted from the Word of God. Not that we don't need to work. We all have to work at something, you know. The feeder said, the Lord said, tells us that the man that doesn't feed his family is worse than a Gentile. Okay. Anybody else got something they'd like to talk about on this subject?
Oh, by the way, Dave, you coming up, aren't you, next month? Well, y'all can stay here if you like. We'll have that room finished.
I figure I'll let you guys figure out what you're doing. I mean, when we get to that around that time, I'll give you a call and you can tell us what's happening. And if we have to, we'll stay in a hotel.
Well, you don't have to.
I mean, it depends if you guys got the room ready, fine, we'll do it. Otherwise,
It's going to be ready. It's going to be ready. Leon's got it almost finished now.
Is he a carpenter?
Oh, yeah. He's actually a little bit of everything. He can do a little bit of everything.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he finished the floor in there today and painted it and looks really nice.
Cool.
So
we'll stay there.
I think that'll we'll put you up there. We have a one way in, one way out. We can lock you up there if we need to. You better be nice when you come here.
Yeah, take a lock the spirits in there to keep control, I know.
Absolutely. Absolutely. No, it'd be nice.
Oh, cool, it'll be towards the end of the week, show up. And it'd be nice to visit, really will be.
Okay, and we'll look forward to it.
It'd be good for my wife to be there, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. What's her name?
Becky,
okay.
Yep.
Yeah, all right. That's what the that's a, you let me know when you get a little closer, won't you?
Right, definitely.
Okay, all right.
That'd be nice.
Yeah, we'll be prayed up for you.
Yeah, I'll give you a whole week's notice, sir. Yeah.
What was that? What was that date, Dave?
Oh yeah, let me get a calendar. I think it's 18th and 19th here.
Yeah, that's what you told me. 18th and 19th of May.
Which month? May?
May. Yeah. Oh. Next month. So, 18th, 19th in that area. I drive up somewhere around the 17th, the evening of the 17th or so, we'll figure out for sure.
Okay. That'd be awesome. You can stay midnight if you want to. We don't charge money. No, I'm just kidding. No.
That's fine.
I'll cook for you. If I'm not busy, you could. We had some good old bean soup today, bean and ham soup today. That was absolutely out this world. Ooh, my goodness, I can cook. And
be careful, Dave. He puts roadkill in his stuff.
Well, no, you're not supposed to tell people that, Barbara. You know, that's a trade secret.
Just kidding. He does cook good.
Well, roadkill's not going to hurt you. We bless it anyway. It'll be all right. I told him one time I was going to have some squirrel head soup. I was going to bring some squirrel head soup over at the Pot Blessing. He said, what is that? I said, just what I said. It's squirrel head soup. Well, we used to have it when I was a kid. Squirrel head soup. Daddy would make it with the eyeballs still in it.
Really?
Yeah. It wasn't bad. It was good. It sucked the brain out, man. Crack it open, suck the brain out. It's all good. I'm serious. We did at the deer camp. They killed a bunch of squirrels. We'd have squirrel heads too. Daddy would make it. I know y'all think I'm lying, but I ain't. I'm telling you, we had it. And I'll tell you something else. It's good. All right.
This is where you give thanks to the Lord, I think. Right?
You're about ready
to lose some of us here.
Amen. Well, when you come visit, you'll get blessed. Amen. All right. Back to Dave.
Remember that show Barney Miller years ago? Anybody ever watch that?
Yeah.
There was a guy, Wojciechowicz, big guy, and then there was a Chinese guy there. And this Chinese guy, I can't remember his name, but he was making some soup there. And Wojciechowicz comes up and says, wow, what is that pungent smell? He says, oh, it's the soup I'm making. He says, oh, soup. He says, yeah, it's fish. The fish head soup. What? He started telling me, what's in that thing? He started, it's good for you. He started saying all the ingredients in it. And by the time he got through it, this Chinese guy says, he said, well, it smells like garbage. And he says, he started naming all the stuff off. He says, well, I guess it is garbage.
Amen. Yeah. Well, people eat some exotic stuff. We just eat down home stuff here. Amen. Okay. Back to killing the flesh instead of feeding the flesh. What about it? That book, How Shall We Die, pinpoints a lot of things in that, in what we're supposed to do. In James chapter 3 and 2, verse 2, it says, for in many things we all stumble. If any stumbleth not in word, the same as a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body also. If we transform our mind, we're going to prove what the perfect will of God is in our life. We walk in the perfect will of God because we reprogram our computer. But James is telling us that faith without works is dead in James 2:17 and then verse 26. We're in this tongue conquers the curse in our Bible studies on Wednesdays here. And this is something that I came across today that was, man, it just talked about killing the flesh by reading the word and studying the word and getting the word in you. A lot of people worry about how they're going to bridle body and how they're going to bring it under submission to the Lord. And all you need to do is exercise faith in what God has already done for us. And you do that by renewing your mind. If you don't know these things, you have to renew your mind. Then you'll learn these things, put them into your heart. You get them into your heart, and you can overcome those daily trials that come to us. That's essential in the life of a Christian, true Christian. What can we call us? Disciples. That's what I like to call believers. Believers. I don't ask anybody anymore if they're Christians because everybody's a Christian. I ask them for believers. Well, yeah, I'm a believer. What you believe? No, don't do that. You'll find out real quick they're not believers. Okay. What else? Anybody got something else they'd like to share
about? I think you mentioned it really good last teaching you did about the end in view, keeping the end in view.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And boy, I you know.
Just keep your mind on Jesus. That's the end.
That's the
end result.
Yeah, we know that's what the reason is and the hope. It kind of helps us too, cooperate with this whole process some more. And if it happens, it doesn't happen all at once. It's a process, just like, sanctification is a process. Overcoming is a process.
Yep.
So, and we have to keep that in mind too. That's why it says take it patiently. It means, well, maybe there's sometimes you don't take it so patiently. Maybe you're going to fail a little bit. The flesh comes out still, but you'll have another opportunity. I mean, the Lord's not going to quit. He'll keep up. He'll keep coming on. He knows what his end product is, and that's what he's going to fulfill. We just know that's the way he's going to work it out in us. So we keep that. And plus, we keep on asking God for mercy, and we keep repenting, and we keep, striving against the flesh ourselves and wailing against it with the Lord and coming to him in humility and truthful heart. And the Lord's going to be there. He's going to be there to help us. He is. He's not going to forsake us. That's one of the messages I get all the time. It's like, you feel like, oh, gosh, I blew it here. Am I still on the road? Have I been tossed off? Am I cast aside? The Lord's, you confess whatever it is, and you move on. And the Lord will, if he's going to work something out of you, he's going to bring it up again. He'll make sure the opportunity's there.
Oh, absolutely. That does come back around again. Yeah, that's a great thing about the Lord, He's going to bring it around until you get it right. We might not like it, but it's going to happen. So you might as well go ahead and deal with it when it comes around the first time.
Not like me. I had to get hit over the head 14 times before I finally figured it out. Well, that's God doing that, bringing that around to me.
And it helps to ask for wisdom to understand what's going on. Yeah. Don't feel like you know, if you don't understand, ask. Help. Hey, why don't I understand this? You know.
Amen. I think Tim's just to impart some of his wisdom.
When you were talking, there, it really came to mind, you know, and all the about Peter denying Jesus, you know, three times before the cock crew, and it's like it kind of makes our errors and our do overs and another trip around the mountain seem like. Not such a great consequence, even though at the time it's like, oh man, you know, I was going to do that better next time, you know. So that's when we were talking about that, it just flashed on me about, you know, how hard it would have been for him to, when that rooster crowed, you know, just, you know, instead of, he went and wept and, you know, he probably cried for a long, long time.
Well, what was interesting about that whole process, if you remember, when Jesus came back, he asked him, he said, Peter, do you love me? Three times. Peter denied him three times. And he asked him, he said, Peter, do you love me? Go feed my sheep. Yeah, go ahead, Andrew.
That's at the end of John, isn't it?
Yeah,
I was kind of wondering, because his love three times there. I think I was told once when he asked the first time, do you love me, Peter? Of course, Jesus was saying agape, and Peter answered him phileo the first two times. Is that true? You know, like, okay, yes, and then the last time he finally got it and said, yes, I agape you. I come into with you. I obey you unconditional.
Okay. That last time, go ahead, Dave.
We have to keep in mind with this whole perspective on that failing in anybody's life was they didn't receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit yet either. So they had all this, and Dave was pointing this out, that they had 3 years of excellent teaching, and we can all have this excellent teaching. We can have this stuff kind of, you know, it's in part of us, but we don't have the power to walk in it yet.
Yeah, so I guess that's why it took him three times, because that was when he was in his resurrected form. He said agape at the end, so he got it finally.
Mm-hmm. Did he say agape, or did he say, you know, Lord? I thought he just agreed, well, you know, Lord, my heart.
Yeah. No, I think he answered, says, yeah, I think it's three times.
I have to look it up. But,
well, I actually downloaded the whole Greek version of the Bible to see if I can find the agape. But it's a real hard script.
If you don't know Greek, it is.
And it's hard to talk about Greek either, yeah.
It's a challenge.
I'll be able to do it since I do take printing.
It's in John chapter 21, verse 15, starting out there. So when they have broken their fast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, lovest thou me more than these? And he said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Then he told him, feed my lambs. Then 21:16, he saith to him again a second time, Simon, son of John, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, tend my sheep. Then he said unto him the third time, Simon, son of John, lovest thou me? And Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee.
Jesus said unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself, and walkest whither thou would. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. And now this he spake, signifying by what manner of death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me. So, yeah, I'm not sure about that third one being agape or not, where Peter was talking back to. I don't remember. It may be that. I know David's got a teaching on it.
Somewhere. No, it's phileo.
Is it phileo?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Peter answered phileo all
three times, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's because he knew it required obedience, and he didn't have it then. He realized he failed.
Yeah, but this was after the resurrection.
Yep. He realized he couldn't say, I obey you, and that obedience love, because it wasn't there in him. Okay. And he wasn't trying to say, I can do that again, Lord, in his own, you know, exhortation, like, hey, I'm there, Lord, I got it. He was saying, no, I don't. I failed. I know I don't have that obedience love that you're talking right now. And he was being honest, which is the honest heart. And the Lord just wanted somebody, hey, listen, you're broken. Now follow me. Feed my sheep. That's good. Because now it's going to, you know, he got that self-will, so self-confidence out of him. And now it's going to be, you're going to follow me and I'll help you. You know, it's at that point it was, Peter, I can do it, Lord. Now it's like, Lord, I can't do that. I didn't have that in me.
Yeah, he phileo loved him, which is not the same that agape love, of course, as we all know, is
obedience
to the commands, you know. And he couldn't do that until, like Andrew was talking about, or Dave or somebody, whoever it was, until after the Holy Spirit, until Pentecost, you know. Go ahead, Tim. I'm sorry, I didn't see your hand right.
Oh, that's cool. Just raised a second ago. I was just looking down at the notes in that chapter 21, and all the way through it says that the love that's mentioned in these places represents two different Greek words. But it doesn't tell which one's phileo and which is agape. During that conversation, they're using Jesus and Peter, I guess, using two different Greek words, but it doesn't explain it. So there is apparently both meanings being discussed, but I don't know, have any insight on it.
Yeah. Let's see here.
I was using eSword with a King James Version Plus version, and you can see the words, and it'll tell you what word it was in Greek.
What is it?
Phileo or agape.
Yeah, okay. Peter was talking phileo, and the Lord was talking agape, right?
Yep.
Okay. That's what I thought. But well, okay. There you have it, straight from the horse's mouth.
It's still an awful good example. I mean, it's very good for us to understand that you can't get perfected in the flesh. It's just going to be by the Lord's, and not by might, but not by power, but my spirit. That's the Lord's going to do it. And we just have to, get baptized in the spirit. We got to walk in newness of life, and it's going to be a good walk. You know, so we just have to cooperate in the process.
Absolutely, and one of the conditions of that process is renewing your mind, right, with the Word of God. Be not fashioned according to this world, but be ye transformed, by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen. Yep. You know, our job is to study the Word of God. Our job is also to speak in faith. Well, I'm getting some terrible feedback here from somebody.
Oh, go ahead, Tim.
Yeah, in the study I've been doing, it delivered from dark powers, and, you know, it's brought up many times, and it's quite true that it's a gradual process, sanctification. And it's by design that way, because you can't get rid of all the old man at once and have it all replaced, or else, you know, if you clean it all out, the Holy Spirit doesn't come and fill it all at once. So it's a gradual process and a learning process. Process of, just, you know, trying and trying again until we get it right, and then keeping
it. Yeah. Yeah, it's a walk, it's a maturation process that all of us have to go into. That book David has, Salvation Instant Progressive, comes to mind, you know, where our salvation even isn't through until the end. And that's why Jesus told us to endure in your faith to the end. If you don't endure in your faith to the end, it's not going to, you're going to be lost. Amen. Anything else?
I've got some, Michael.
Go ahead, going back to
John 21. Not to get too far off subject there, but I always just kind of wonder this, and if someone can, or if someone knows what's being said, you know, please do, you know, elaborate. But where he says, "I've got the King James," and, you know, where Jesus first asked him, he said, "Feed my lambs," and then the last two times he said, "Feed my sheep." Is there any significance? I'm sure there is. Where Jesus said lambs, and then the last two times he said sheep. Can anybody answer that? You know, I always wondered that. I remember saying, well, why didn't he say feed my sheep or feed my lambs three times? Why is he split it up? So.
Well, he did that
So
that we would have this discussion on this particular conference call. I'm trying to skirt around that, Joe, if you hadn't noticed.
Yeah.
Did you have anything on that, Denny? You know why? That he said lambs and then said sheep?
Yeah.
No, I don't.
Well, that's not the answer I'm looking for, yeah. Denny. Come on, man. All right. Thank you, brother.
I've always kind of wondered that, and I was like, huh, you know, that's interesting.
Well, if I wondered about it, it was briefly.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's interesting. Maybe we ought to look into that.
Yeah.
I have a source that I can go to and ask that.
You know, he's saying, you see, he says, feed his lambs.
Yep.
Then he says, tend my sheep. And then he goes back and feed my sheep. So he's also talking about lambs? Right.
What are lambs? That's a young sheep, right?
I was thinking. Yeah, uh-huh. You're talking about, you know, somebody new in the Lord.
Okay, could be. And then tend my sheep. What does that mean? Maintain, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what he's talking about? Maybe to maintain, be a servant to my sheep out there, teach them, you know. And then the last one was feed my sheep. Okay, now start teaching them. And that's what they did, the disciples did.
I would assume the last one would be feed my sheep. Now it's going into more mature teaching.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I would agree. Okay, so we settled it, Joe. Don't ask them kind of questions no more. I'm just kidding you, brother.
Yeah.
But it helps to talk these kind of things out when you point them out.
Yeah.
It does.
Yeah.
What do you think, Andrew?
Did you ever notice that... in the beginning of 21, that there were seven people there?
Let's see.
The church is seven.
Hmm.
There was Peter, Thomas, Nathaniel, and the sons of Zebedee, and two others.
Yep.
Yeah. And, you know, I was trying to look for the Great Commission
in John here in this last chapter. And of course, there it is. He's talking to Peter to do that commission and bring the gospel to the people and what they can do. Feed my sheep, tend my sheep, feed my little lambs. The Great Commission at the end of Luke is comparable to that.
What do you mean?
Or it says, I can't find it. Anyway.
Well, it talks about at the end of 24. Let me see here. Yeah. Well, hang on, I lost it. Well, the only thing he talks about there is that of the Holy Spirit. He promised, he told him, I'm going to send that promise to you. Said, you go on up there and wait on me, tarry in the city until you be clothed from the, with power from on high. It's, hang on. Let's look in Mark. Yeah, it's in Mark chapter 16. He said, and afterwards he was, I'm talking in 14, chapter 16, verse 14. And afterward he was manifested unto the 11 themselves as they sat at meat. And he upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them that had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to the whole creation. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. But he that disbelieves shall be condemned. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. And they shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. And they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken unto them, was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word by the signs that followed. So a true man of God is going to have signs following him, isn't he, when he preaches the gospel according to what Jesus was just telling us there. You don't see signs a whole lot in the apostate churches out there, but we're fixing to see a bunch of it. Glory to God, it's just fixing to just bust out all around. Our meetings here are getting so powerful now, it's just getting better and better. The power of God that comes through the praise and worship, and then afterwards when we have like last Monday night, everybody got in a circle, and the Lord had us praying for a bunch of folks, and man, he was manifesting. Ooh, my goodness, it was awesome. Thank you, Lord. And we're going to see a lot of good stuff coming on the way. That's the Great Commission right there, Mark chapter 16.
Well, what about what it says in Luke?
What does it say in Luke? Which one?
the last chapter.
44? Okay.
47 to 49.
Okay, that's it.
And, of course, in John, the very last verse. But here you have to understand that it's going to be Christ and them, of course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's where the big church, the apostate church, misses it, isn't it?
And then I think there's even one in Matthew. And he says, all authority has been given me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and disciple all the nations, baptizing them. So there's a little pieces in each one, but Mark is the one that shows the manifestations of Christ in
John 20 and 21. As the Father has sent me, even so send I you. Oh, Thomas, he just had a hard time believing Jesus was back, didn't he? Till he saw those holes in his hands and his feet.
I was reading, they were trying to, some of the non-spirit-filled groups were trying to, from way back up until even today, trying to discount Mark, the last chapter, at least the last 7-8 verses that deal with getting this baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues and laying hands on the sick and healing them. And they were trying to say that it was added verses that wasn't part of the original scripture.
How did they come to that conclusion?
Well, you know, especially Jehovah's Witnesses, they don't even have that in their Bible. They just take it out. They say it was added, and it's not part of Scripture. It was never written in there. It was written in afterwards. It was written, they're saying. There was something that was added later, and it wasn't the original writing. But Ivan Pavin, I was looking through this, he actually tackled that, and he said no. He went through those last verses, and he still shows a numeric pattern that's involved in those verses also. So he's saying, no, that's still all the original writing. There's nothing there missing. He said it's still in the numeric pattern that follows the rest of Scripture. It's not something, it hasn't been added, it wouldn't have the pattern in it. So he went and proved that to be false too. So just a quick reference in case somebody challenges people and says, oh, that was added, that's not true Scripture. No, it's real. It's awesome. It's authentic.
Yeah. A lot of people don't even believe numerics. Hey, Dave, would you close us out first?
Okay. Dear Father, thank you for bringing us again together and letting us chew on your word and chew on our flesh. Let us examine ourselves and our hearts in front of you, and come together as a body where we can freely discuss things and share our thoughts, our concerns, and share our failures and our successes, Lord, and not feel any guilt or condemnation, but just feel great fellowship and love from being in your body. Thank you, Father, for working a good work in us and completing it in Jesus Christ, which we all desire, helping us to get that fruit. We're all going for that hundredfold fruit. We want to get manifest in Jesus in our lives, Father. And Jesus, thank you for being there, our Savior, and helping us see that, you know, through you we can live and move and have our being. Thank you for being our Savior, Father. Thank you for being our Savior, Jesus. There's nobody else that we care to listen to or come to. We love your word. We love the fellowship, and we love the brothers. And Lord, continue to work this good work in us as we go on tonight. Give us all a good night's sleep. And bring us together and refresh us. And then we come together Thursday night, we'll have something more to share. And at the same time, there's other things you want us to bring up and to bring out. Let us know that. Give us revelations. Give us signs and wonders. Give us those dreams that you want in our lives. And if it's just coming to more knowledge of you, no matter what it is in our life, Lord. That's what we all desire. We want to get closer and know you so we can look in that mirror and see you. We want to see Jesus. We want to see you. We want to see you in our life, Father. We want to see you, Jesus. Thank you. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, all right. Thursday night, it's going to be potpourri. Anything you want to talk about, if you got a song you'd like for us to listen to, that'd be fine, too. So let me get everybody unmuted here. Well, good night, everybody.